Read on Wednesday was the book of Acts, and when we were done with the book of Acts, we went through a series called After Acts, where we reviewed all of Paul's epistles, because that's what the book of Acts takes us from the 12 apostles ministering to the nation of Israel in Jerusalem, and then there's a transition where all of a sudden the book of Acts ends with the apostle Paul going out to the Gentiles with the gospel of grace, and he does that from, looks like the headquarters would be Antioch, that's where he left his first time from, but anyhow, his ministry had superseded as God's program and purpose for the nation of Israel is postponed, not canceled, but postponed. And we live in this dispensation of grace where God has turned to all men from all nations and is forming the body of Christ. And then when we're raptured out, then God in the future will go back and pick up where Israel's program left off, meaning the wrath will be poured out on this earth, and then Jesus Christ will come back and establish his kingdom on the earth. So when we went through the series after Acts, we actually looked at each one of Paul's epistles, and when I look back at those records, I didn't realize we covered so much of the book of Galatians when we did that. I know that near the end, we were covering quite a bit of the material of Paul's latest epistles. I thought when we started out that I thought I went real fast through Romans, and then somewhere after a while slowed up and started covering more detail. But we covered quite a bit of detail on the book of Galatians in that after Acts. And a lot of what we covered there we're going to cover again today, because if we're going to actually cover the book of Galatians verse by verse, then there is some introduction to the book itself. And so some of those things you're going to get a review. So you got it in the book of Acts. You got it when we did the overview of the book of Galatians, of all of Paul's epistles. And certainly you'll get it now as an introduction to the book of Galatians. So Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. If I read verses 1 and 2, it'll give us some pieces of information that will just help us introduce the whole epistle that Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia. It says in Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and to all the brethren which are with me unto the churches of Galatia. And even verse 1, we'll go back when we start looking verse by verse. But I want you to see the introduction that it's written to the churches of Galatia. It's interesting, too, in verse 2, when he says, and all the brethren which are with me. A lot of other epistles, like when Paul writes the Thessalonians, he'll mention Timothy, Silas, and he'll say Paul and Timothy and Silas unto the church of the Thessalonians, Thessalonica. But so he names the people that are with him. Here, there seems to be a number of people with him where he just makes that statement, all the brethren which are with me, and then says, unto the churches of Galatia. In almost every one of Paul's epistles, and in fact, all of Paul's other epistles written to a church. Now, he's got epistles written to Timothy and Titus and Philemon, so he's got those personal epistles. But every epistle that he writes to a church, it's actually a church city, like the church of Ephesus. And that is, Ephesus is a city, but the church of Ephesus is the believers in that city, and he calls them in a singular sense. What? In the book of Romans, when you get to Romans chapter 16, it looks like Paul's mentioning at least three different assemblies within the city of Rome that are going on, but they would just be the church at Rome. He doesn't actually address the three different places. In Galatians here, he notice the word, it says, unto the churches, plural, of Galatia. And Galatia itself is not a city. Galatia is a territory. Galatia is a region. And so when Paul writes to Galatians, it's different than those other church epistles in that we're not talking about one particular city or a group of saints in that city, that we're talking something that's bigger than a city, it's a region, and involves several churches, plural. And so it's important to think about who are the churches of Galatia. And the study of Acts will tell us that. First of all, if in the Pew Bible there, if you have like map number 7, you'll see the journeys of Paul. We'll be referring to that in just a moment. I got this map up here, and so you can, if you have a map closer to you where you can't see this one, you can actually see the area. Just to get a context of things, down here is Israel, and there's Jerusalem. North of that is Syria. But then over here, this whole area is considered Asia. We call it Asia Minor, but it's Asia. And years before the Apostle Paul, going all the way back to 278 BC, the Gauls migrated to the northern central part of this Asia area. By the way, you know what country that is today? Turkey. Yeah. I'll say something, maybe I'll remember to say something in a minute about that. But anyhow, the Gauls, 278 BC, they settled up in this area. And so they named their state, their territory, they named it Galatia. So when you have a map like this, this map, it starts the word Galatia here and goes all the way up to here. And you'll see why they cover that whole territory as Galatia. But Central Asia there, it was considered Galatia. They named it Galatia. But it was in about 25 BC that the Roman government, in providing all, you know how all roads lead to Rome? Well, they had a system by which if they're going to, Rome? Way over there. If Rome is going to control all of this area to the east of them, they built highways through all the major areas and put colonial cities, Roman cities, where they would actually put troops and government there to control certain areas. And as they built roads eastward, they built roads right through the southern area of Galatia here, through the cities of Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, right through there, that would lead to Rome. And when they built that in those areas of the southern area, so the southern part of the area of Asia also became called Galatia. And the Romans did that just by settling that area. So because it was a Roman colony, that area is a Roman colony, those particular cities that I mentioned being Roman cities that were set up to control that area. The northern part of Galatia is more wild, more country. The southern part was the area that Rome controlled and set up control at. But because it was more cultured like that, the Greeks and the Jews migrated to those cities, that territory in southern Galatia. And it is important for other reasons to know there's a northern Galatia, southern Galatia, but it's all that Central Asia Minor area. But anyhow, it's those cities that we want to talk about, because when Paul began his first apostolic ministry, we say Paul's writing now to the churches of Galatia. Who are these people? Well, we've done the study, but we'll do it again. Go back to Acts chapter 13. Now, just to point out things on the map, down here is Jerusalem. Here is Damascus, where Paul was on his way to Damascus. Saul was on his way to Damascus when just outside Damascus, Jesus Christ appeared to him and called him to be Paul the Apostle to the Gentiles. Now, that's southern Syria. Ultimately, Paul, after some events that we'll read about later as we study the book of Galatians, he eventually ended up ministering at a church at Antioch, which is in northern Syria right here. And that's where you pick up here in the book of Acts. He's ministering in Antioch, Syria. And it says in verse 1, "Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, as Barnabas and Simeon, which is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Mahaden, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul." Now that Saul is Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, later it's called that. He says, "As they ministered unto the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So the apostle Paul, he was called right from the road to Damascus. that God said, I'm going to send you far hence unto the Gentiles. So he's going to begin to branch his apostolic ministry out. And we call this, as you study the book of Acts, there's three journeys Paul makes that the book of Acts covers. This is going to be the first. And he's going to leave Antioch. And what you have in the verses that follow, verses 3 all the way down to verse 13, is Paul goes through the island of Cyprus, goes over to the end of Pamphylia. And then in verse 14, you read this, chapter 13, verse 14. But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. So verse 13 would have told you that he left Pisidia, came up, here's Pamphylia, and then that Perga is the seaboard city in Pamphylia, the very southern area of this Galatian area. And then they went from there, he moves up to Antioch. And you know, I'm not going to show you here now, but you know, when Paul was called into Macedonia later, he goes into Macedonia, he lands over, what's that city? Nicopolis, I think, is where he landed. But he don't spend any time there, he goes straight to Philippi. And the reason he goes straight to Philippi, that's the colonial city. That's the city that Rome has established. That's the main center of that area. And Paul, in his wisdom, when he's spreading the gospel, he doesn't go to the small hick cities. He goes to the major cities. So what my point is here is when he goes and he's over here in Perga, he goes straight up to Antioch and starts ministering in Antioch. And that area is called Pisidia. Antioch. He left Antioch, Syria. You got to keep them separate. And now he's in Antioch, Pisidia. And the reason he goes there is because that's one of those major cities that Rome put in that territory. So Paul's beginning his ministry there, and he goes to the city of Antioch. And here he's got a long message that he preaches there, gets the Jews all mad at him, and eventually he has to leave that city. If you drop down to verse 51, it says, verse 50 says, but the Jews stirred up devout and honorable women and chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them out of their coast. And they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came to Iconium. And so when he left, now see, that's where you can look at your map. When he left Antioch, he comes now, he's ministered there, now he comes over to Iconium. So he goes to Iconium and he ministers there in Iconium. If you look down in verse, chapter 14 and verse 6, it says, verse 5 is the assault. Verse 5 says, and when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also the Jews with their rulers to use them despitefully and to stone them, they were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and to the region that lieth about. So when they left Lystra, they came, there's Iconium and there's Derbe. So they just moving just a little bit west, he fled to those cities. Now when he was in, you know, it says that he went to Lystra and Derbe. Well, what happened in Lystra is in verses 7 all the way down through verse 18 of the things that took place there. And that's where they were going to worship Paul. And he says, no, I'm not a god. And finally persuaded them to quit worshiping. But those people that were tracking Paul down, that they were going from one city, they were at Antioch, and then they came over to Iconium. They eventually came over to Lystra. Look at verse 19. And there came hither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. So those people who didn't like Paul, when he finally got run out of Antioch, Iconium, then they came over to Lystra, and where'd Lystra go? Lystra, the people who were going to worship him moments ago now turned around and stoned him and thought he was dead. They supposed that they left him for dead. You see, verse 20 says, howbeit, the disciples stood round about him. He rose up and came into the city, and the next day departed with Barnabas unto Derbe. So now he goes to Derbe. And so he's covering those areas of southern Galatian area and those main cities there. And then in verse 21, it says, when he had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, he returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. So he's obvious that you're going to suffer for the gospel's sake. And it's amazing that those people chased him down to those other cities. Then he turns around, backtracked right to where they were, and tells the people from each one of those cities to continue in the grace of God, and exhorted them concerning that. Verse 23 is also important. When they had ordained them elders in every church and prayed with fasting, commended them unto the Lord on whom they had believed. So every church, every one of those cities, there's an individual church and has its own elders. Every church is autonomous, individual, you know, no denominational thing here. They're each commended unto the Lord. But that means there's a church in Antioch, there's a church in Lystra, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe. And Paul backtracked, there's elders in each one, and now there's a church in each one. And those are considered the churches of Galatia, as I'll point out to you as we just keep going here. In chapter 15, we're not going to study that. This is where there's a council at Jerusalem, because when Paul was in Antioch here, some people came from Jerusalem and started confusing the gospel. Now, we'll talk about that in a moment, saying to the Gentiles that you can't be saved until you're circumcised. That's a very similar thing that's going to take place here in Galatia. And you can see that the Jews that are chasing Paul, they're chasing him everywhere. So naturally, the problem that came from Jerusalem up to here is the same problem that went over to the area that Paul had established those churches in southern part of Galatia. But anyhow, chapter 15 of Acts is going to match what we're going to study in Galatians chapter 2. And at the end of that time period, Paul is at Jerusalem, down there telling the apostles what he's teaching the Gentiles, what God's message is, and that's a major part of what the book of Galatians is about. But the point is when Paul was down here, he's getting ready to go back to Antioch. And you pick up in verse 32 of Acts chapter 15. It says, "And Judas and Silas, being prophets also themselves, exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they let them go in peace, from the brethren unto the apostles. Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still." So Paul takes Judas and Silas with him from Jerusalem back to Antioch. Judas goes back home. But Silas stays there with Paul at Antioch. And it says, "Notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also." So that's why it almost looks like, at least at this point, that Antioch is Paul's headquarters. He left there, eventually comes back there, goes down to Jerusalem, comes back there, and now he's there for a little bit of time. My point in reading you verse 35 is to get the idea that Paul, after he settled that issue in Jerusalem, stays at Antioch for a time. But then in verse 36, it says this, "And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit the brethren in every city where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they do." So after he's been there for a long time, he says, "Barnabas, let's go back. Let's go through these cities and see how the brethren are doing that he went on the first apostolic ministry to do." Later on, you'll see there's a problem with Barnabas and Paul over Mark. Let me read it now. It says in verse 37, it says, "And Barnabas determined to take with him John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them from Pamphylia and went not with them to the work." Again, I don't know where we'll end up in our study, but that could be something we're going to come back to. That's why I read it now. But the point is they're going to go and on the journey and see how the churches are doing. Barnabas is going to take Mark and go to Cyprus. But Paul is going to take Silas and go over to these churches. Notice in chapter 16, verse 1. Start verse 40 of chapter 5. It says, "And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple there, Timotheus." So there, Timothy got saved that first time Paul was over here in Derbe. But when it says, Barnabas took Mark, you know, they had to go by ship, naturally, over to Cyprus, and they're ministering there. Paul goes through Syria, and then Cilicia, and then comes to Derbe. So that, you see, Paul's going on foot in the area that he's covering, and then he goes to Derbe and Lystra, and he covers that area. So Paul went there that second time. Now, look at verse 6, chapter 16, verse 6. "Now, when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia." So Paul can't go to the western part of that territory. He went to the Galatian area, but he couldn't go over to the Asian area of that. But when he went to this through this area, it says in verse 16, verse 6 there, "Now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia." Now that there's where you start learning that those churches that Paul had just visited, Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, are the churches in the region of Galatia. And so when we're studying the book of Galatians and Paul's writing to the churches of Galatia, he's writing to those churches that he first established in his first apostolic ministry in the southern area of Galatia, Antioch, Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe by name. Those would be the church of Antioch, the church of Lystra, the church of Iconium, the church of Derbe. They each had a church in them, and that's why he writes and says, the churches of. So that you know who he's writing to. Now that also will help us understand some other things. Paul, some people think, you're still in the book of Acts. Come over to chapter 18. Now when you study the book of Galatians, there's not only who they are, but the other thing, when you study a book, you try to figure out, well, when exactly did Paul write this letter? And for some reason, and I'm not exactly sure, I can show you a couple verses, and I guess I'll do that. But anyhow, Paul, his second apostolic journey, where we stopped reading, he eventually wasn't allowed to go to Asia, but he did go over into Macedonia, down into Achaia, that's where Corinth is at. And then from Corinth, he eventually, you'll see, made a trip back to Jerusalem, then went back to Antioch, and then went back through the churches of Galatia and went to Ephesus. So some people think that Paul never wrote the book of Galatians until after the end of his apostolic ministry. And they usually would pick Acts chapter 18 and verse 11, where Paul's at Corinth, and it says this, "And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." If you do other studies, you find out that is when Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. But a lot of people also think that's when he wrote Galatians, during that six-month stay at Corinth. And so there's an argument, which is the first epistle Paul ever wrote? Did he write Galatians or 1 Thessalonians first? Well, a lot of people say 1 Thessalonians is the first epistle Paul wrote, because they'll say in Acts 18, 11, he wrote 1 Thessalonians and then wrote Galatians and then wrote 2 Thessalonians. But I don't think he wrote Galatians then. One reason that they might do that is some verses that are here. When he left after this, after verse 11, he spends a couple years, a year and a half at Corinth. And when he leaves there, he stops at Ephesus. But look what it says in chapter 18, verse 23. He leaves Ephesus, and it says, "And after he had spent some time there," verse 22, so you know where he went. "And when he had landed at Caesarea and gone up," that is, gone up to Jerusalem, "he went down to Antioch." So he came back to Jerusalem, and then went up to Antioch. That's where you pick him up here. In verse 23, it says, "And after he had spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia, and in order, strengthening all the disciples." So there's another visit that Paul had to that area. And so they think that he wrote it back there in verse 11 and then visited them in verse 23. And then because the next apostolic ministry, that would be the second one, is over, and the third one doesn't begin until after Acts 19. But in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, when he takes up that third apostolic ministry, the purpose of it is to take up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. Look what he says in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. He's writing to the Corinthians because he's on his way to collect money from them. They're taking up the collection while he's away. But when he brings up the subject, he says in 1 Corinthians 16, 1, he says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, As I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye." And then he tells them upon the first day of the week. And so every time they met, it looked like they were meeting on Sundays, they took up a collection for the poor saints at Jerusalem. But he had already given orders to the churches of Galatia. Well, we just saw he made that visit, Jerusalem, back to Antioch, worked his way back through. And even though he spent 3 years at Ephesus, when he went through that area, he sent word to Galatia, "You be a part of this too." So that's why some people think that he wrote the book of Galatians back in Acts chapter 18, verse 11. Now, that's what some people think. I want to show you that, to me, when you study the book of Galatians, and by the way, it's an easy book to read. I mean, even every chapter is short. There's only 6 chapters to the book, so you can read it through, and the more you read it through, you can put thoughts together. I'm into this weird thing of seeing these words that are used over and over and looking at the number and comparing. And someday down the way, I'll make a list of an interesting set of words, 2 different antonyms, synonyms, you know, and the number of times they're used, it's interesting. But anyhow, just reading through the book, when you read through the book of Galatians, you're going to realize there seems to be an urgency to the book. And the events and the people that are mentioned would indicate that Galatians is an early book that Paul wrote that's real close, since it covers the same problem that went on in Acts chapter 15 down in Jerusalem, where Paul had to go down to Jerusalem, that it's not years and years later that Paul solves that problem in Galatia. It's probably something that happened real soon after that, or about that same time, and therefore Paul needed to write to them. In fact, the reason I read that Acts chapter 15, verse 35, where after they had that council in Jerusalem, Paul stayed some certain days there and continued to teach at Antioch. I would tell you that Paul wrote Galatians at Acts chapter 15, verse 35, before verse 36, and they planned that second ministry to them. So that that's why that there's such a comparison in the book of Galatians with the events of Acts chapter 15. But there's other things. If you go to the book of Galatians now, at least we'll get into that. We read enough where, if you look at Galatians chapter 2, when Paul's about to make a point here, and again, when we study the details of the book, we'll see what the point is. But when he talks about him going to Jerusalem, and I believe it's the event of Acts 15, but the point is this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also." Well, from the little bit of review we just did, Paul's first apostolic ministry, he went out with Barnabas. The second time he went out with Silas. And then later they picked up Timothy. But point is Paul doesn't ever travel again with Barnabas after Acts chapter 15. But when he's writing to the churches of Galatia, and he brings up the fact that he took Barnabas, Well, that would mean something to them because when he establishes the churches of Galatia, Barnabas was with him. So that when he writes this book, it seems like that it's a time in which him and Barnabas are still together, still ministering together, at least there at Antioch. And he mentions Barnabas there in chapter 2 in verse 1. Then he mentions him again, like in verse 9. He says, then when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Then when Peter makes that withdrawal from eating with the Gentiles that Paul has to confront him about, it says in verse 12, it says, for that before certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they came, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, and other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Well, all these references to Barnabas, to me, this isn't years later that Paul doesn't know or isn't, he does know, isn't traveling with Barnabas. He's writing to the Galatians at a time just after he'd been there. They knew Barnabas, and you know they'd be surprised that Barnabas would do such a thing. So it seems to be a current time with them that happened. If you look back to, and this is a key verse, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6, it says, Paul, when he writes to them and gets to the point, he says, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Well, for it to be so soon, it didn't happen years later. It had to happen soon after he went there and preached the gospel, where they got saved, were established, and then he marvels that so soon they're removed. So this is a very early, it's not written in Acts chapter 18. He wrote this right around that Acts chapter 15 time, and just that kind of statement. He says it in a couple different ways. Look at Galatians chapter 3 and verse 3 when he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Well, just the phrase begun, it's like their Christian life had, you know, it begun in the Spirit, but it's almost like implying that they hadn't been saved that long. Now, not necessarily a factual statement there. You could argue against that if you wanted to. But Paul's referring to their beginning. In Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 7, ye did run well. Like you guys just left the finish line and you're so soon removed. So just looking at those things from that point of view, it looks like Paul wrote very soon after his first ministry to them and right about the same time of that event that took place in Acts chapter 15 where he had explained that gospel and have circumcision issues, which is what you're going to see here. Look at Galatians chapter 6 and verse 17. He says, concerning those that were chasing him down, he says, from henceforth, let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. What happened to Paul at Lystra? Yeah, they stoned him and thought he was dead. When I read that verse there, and I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. There are scars from that stoning that took place in his body, which just shows the connection to that time at Lystra, and not, you know, not years later, although maybe the scars might be there years later. But the whole implication as you're reading this is that they're soon removed, and Paul writes this letter very quickly to them. I want to go take you back to Acts. What was that, Mark? My note just tells me to compare two verses, and I can't remember what they are. Let's look at them, because look at Acts chapter 14, verse 13. I threw this in at the end, too. I thought, oh, wow, that fits that point, too. And I can't remember what it was. Oh, it's Acts 13:13. Oh, yes, okay. Hopefully it'll be worth it for you. Acts 13:13. Now, when Paul, remember, they were in this area here, down in this island. They left Paphos, that bottom western part of Cyprus, and they came to Pamphylia. Now, all that time that they were traveling, there was Barnabas and Mark and Paul. And what you read in verse 13 of Acts 13, it says, now when Paul was, and when Paul and his company loosed from Paphos, they came to Perga in Pamphylia, and John, departing from them, returned to Jerusalem. Now, John was a young man who had traveled. He came up to Antioch. He said, I want to go with you guys. Mark said, okay, let's go. So they all went. And when they came to Pamphylia, Mark says, I'm going home. And he goes home to Jerusalem. I believe that Mark is Barnabas' son. But the point is Mark left them there. Now, when Mark was with him, his purpose of with him was to take care of Paul's needs. He was a young man that ministered to Paul in the physical need that Paul had. Look at Galatians chapter 4. And notice this statement in verse 13. He says, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. And later on, he's going to talk about his eyes. When we study the passage, we'll consider what this infirmity in Paul's flesh was. But the reference there is that Paul had an infirmity, and you can understand that the reason Paul and Barnabas on the second journey, Paul would not take John, is because he abandoned him on the first journey. So when Barnabas says, okay, well, let's take the second journey, let's take Mark, Paul said, no way. And it got so severe that Paul and Barnabas split company. They didn't work together. Paul took Silas, Mark took John and went back to Cyprus. So that was what John did, he abandoned Paul. If Paul had a blindness, which is look what the passage is going to talk about, when Paul was there preaching to them, he makes that statement, ye know how through infirmity of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first. They saw Paul's weakness, and it's almost implied that he didn't have... Like you can see that John wasn't there strengthening him, comforting him, giving him whatever he needed, guiding him along, especially if he had an eyesight problem. And it was very obvious that Paul was in weakness when he was there, which again is pointing to the fact that the book was written at a very early time after Paul had visited them. Those people know what he was like when he was there. They can vision it. They can remember it. So all that points to an early early writing of the book. Let me point out this, and we'll pick up on this. Time really does go fast. Go back to Galatians chapter 1, and let me just point out to you the beginning part of this. 12 times in this little book, Paul's going to talk about the gospel. We don't have time to read all 12 times. But you certainly start getting a gist of the book, even though we'll back up and cover verse by verse the previous verses. But it says in verse 6 of Galatians chapter 1, Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So you really see immediately from verses 6 through 9 that the gospel is the issue of the book of Acts and book of Galatians, and that Paul, it's the clarity and purity of the gospel that he's fighting mad about. We'll look at several verses where it shows the demeanor of the Apostle Paul. But the first issue is the gospel itself, and the very fact about the clarity and the purity of the gospel is so essential that he would make those statements that even if he came back and preached something else, that he let him be accursed. Or if an angel came down from heaven and preached something else, let him be accursed. So the purity and the clarity of the gospel is an important issue, to the point that verse 6, when it says that they're removed from the grace of Christ unto another gospel, verse 7 says, which is not another. If you get moved from the gospel, then you're being moved to something that's not a gospel. Gospel means good news, and the gospel, the good news that Paul is going to be talking about here and throughout this book, is the good news of our salvation. The gospel, as recorded in the book of 1 Corinthians 15, is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures, and that if you believe that, you're saved. What's going to happen in the book of Galatians, the people that are perverting the gospel, that verse 7 there, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you that would pervert the gospel of Christ. They're going to be adding works, and particularly circumcision, just as they did before down in Jerusalem there, saying that a Gentile can't be saved apart from circumcision, and get works involved, man's flesh, man's works, keeping the law as part of the gospel. And when you pervert the gospel, it's not a gospel. Meaning, if you pervert the gospel and you believe the perverted message, you're not saved. You're lost. And so the purity and the clarity of the gospel is going to be the issue. And that, how could anything be more important than that? And that's where Paul is going to be dealing with that issue in the book of Galatians. And it's something that he probably dealt in his very first epistle that he wrote. And just to say something about that, we live at a time, there's so many preachers out there. Jim was telling me one, I'll have to verify, I can't hardly believe it's true what he told me, but out of the preachers out there, and I'm not going to say this man's name, because one day I got to watch and actually write out word for word what he says at the end of his program. Mega church. And then he comes on to get people saved at the end, and he says, say this prayer with me, and it has to do with the Lord, I repent of my sins, I receive Jesus into my heart right now, I want to live for you, in Jesus' name, amen. And then he says, if you said that prayer, you're saved. If you said that prayer, you're as lost as the moment before you prayed that. You're not saved by repenting of your sins, letting Jesus in your life, and living for the Lord. That has nothing. The gospel is the good news of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ as the complete payment of sin, and you trusting what he did for you. And that's why salvation's by grace through faith, because you don't do it. Jesus Christ provided it. He paid for it. All you do is trust what he did, and God gives you eternal life. But there are people, and I'm just preparing you, because we live in a time, there's just all kinds of what they call gospel preaching on the radio. And you'll hardly ever hear the gospel on the radio. Probably hardly ever hear it on the television. Because people don't even know the clarity and purity of the gospel. Most are preaching perverted gospel messages and don't even know that the gospel centers in the work of the cross, not in their life or receiving Jesus or living for the Lord. Those are all just works that you do. Hopefully you get saved and then do some of those things. But even to the very, the Billy Graham and his repent of your sins. Paul talked about repentance one time in relating to the gospel, but that's because he's talking to pagans who believed in idols, and you can't trust an idol to get saved. You have to believe in Jesus Christ, so you have to change your mind, turn to God from idols, not turn from your sins. You're a sinner. The only way you're going to get rid of your sins is trust Jesus Christ as the payment for your sin. You don't turn from your sins to get saved. You go to the Savior, trust him, his death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for your sins, and then have the righteousness of Jesus Christ imputed to you on the basis of faith. But see, the Galatians will cover all those details. They struggled over the issue of circumcision and works of the law. We kind of work with just a bunch of perverted, unclear messages that don't go back to the cross of Christ. But that's an introduction to the book of Galatians. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we do thank you for a time just to review most of what we've seen before, but seeing how all that movement recorded in the book of Acts helps us to identify who these churches of Galatia are and when it was that Paul perhaps wrote this book, so that we'd realize how soon the gospel message was attacked, because certainly the gospel message is the very message you want the world to know, and certainly the very point of attack of Satan and his religious works against your message. So, Father, help us not only to study the book and see the things taught in the book of Galatians, but also to realize how that is relevant to the time we live today. And may we not be caught up into the things that pervert the message, but stay clear and pure on the gospel of grace. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.